Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Roundtable, a podcast that's happy to see you again. In this episode, we talk about Trellis, Nintendo and Lego, Umbrella Academy Season 2, and Cubers. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So get ready, get set, and go, go, go! We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Patrick?
Hey, buddy. Are you okay? You were just taking a lot of deep breaths just then.
I talked a lot of words, and so then I had to breathe afterwards.
Okay, but I mean, we've been doing this for a while. Like, if there's somebody that knows how to say a lot, not necessarily substance, but purely quantity, it's you, so
yeah,
I'm just surprised.
It's more quantitative, not qualitative.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when we started recording this show, and Lauren, you would have missed this, unfortunately, but we used to have to do a lot of takes of the intro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a point in time that the intro was like a 40-minute affair.
Oh, wow.
And the bulk of the show, and that was when show episodes were 45 minutes long.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally, so we would set a record time, like, well, we're going to start at this time and we'll finish at this time. Mm-hmm. By the time we're hitting our finish mark, we just got through starting. The intro. And that is, literally, that was every week. Like, I feel like we were probably a solid.
But then you stopped doing the intros and I started doing them and then it got better.
Man, I hate that you like that so much, Lauren. But I mean, it probably took 30 episodes, 40 episodes where I feel like we started like blazing through them. But
yeah.
And by we, primarily you.
Yeah. Very, very rarely. I think maybe there's a handful of times where you've messed up an intro, which is still too many times, because all you do in the intro is say, "And I'm Patrick Hill,"
right? And I've still managed to derail it.
And you still managed to derail it a handful of times. So, you know, for those of you who are listening and think like, "Ah, oh, this is easy. These guys, this is super easy. If they'll give them a podcast, they'll give anyone a podcast."
It goes to, for anyone that wants to start a podcast or I mean, anything, it doesn't have to be a podcast. You could just start, I mean, talking to a
naked
girl
puppet
or something,
shows.
Like, whatever. Yeah, naked puppet
shows. I'm very
shows.
Curious where this is going.
Okay, but the idea is it just takes repetition. It is one of those things that I don't believe anyone naturally gets to kind of jump over the repetition that's required to get to that point. Because if anybody could have, it would have probably been Andrew. I always thought you were very gifted until we started doing this, and clearly, it takes repetition. So
even for the literal most skilled that there are out there, it still takes us repetition.
Exactly, and that's the big takeaway here. So talking back about, jumping back to the topic we were on, which is Super Troopers.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, side note, the song Super Trooper by ABBA, a Super Trooper is a type of light, just so you know. That's like the actual spotlight brand is a Super Trooper. However, I believe in the music video, the spotlight they show is not a Super Trooper, even though the song is about Super Troopers. So there's just like a piece of ABBA trivia for you, which I know that you listen to the show to get. But no, talking about...
There's your ABBA trivia hot take.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Don't say
world.
We never taught you anything.
But going back to Super Troopers, Andrew, you based on the conversation we're having before the show, you made the comment that I believe the sum is not as great as the parts, and I fully agree. Like I love the individual people that make up, you know, the kind of ragtag collective of officers, you know, or in the case of the sequel, Mounties.
Yes.
But I find the plot...
I did not know there was a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
They're
it takes
Canadian
place
Mounties.
In Canada.
That's
hence
funny.
The Mounties. context. So, but I find the plots of these films so grating. Like, I hate it.
I mean, Super Troopers is literally just a bunch of sketches kind of compiled together, like, about cops, really. Like, it's...
What I'm saying I would prefer with this group of people, if they make another film, this is what I want. I want one of those, like, one-room sets. You know the films that take place, like, all in a phone booth or all in an elevator or something like that? Mm-hmm. I want the entire, like, the entire film takes place in an interrogation room, and for some reason they're all in there. And it never leaves there. And the thing is, it needs to be, like, it needs to be 80% ad lib.
I know why you'd like it, because it would be like, whose line is it anyway? It'd be like an improv show with them as the improv troupe. And that, and I agree, that would make sense.
That is the film that I would gladly shell out money to go watch. But if they give me another film with a plot, I just don't care. I don't. They're not good at it, but I would watch them, like, basically
just perform.
Now, Reno 911.
Maybe they should just do a sketch show.
Yeah,
Reno 911 is so much funnier.
It is so much funnier. Like, on the other, like, it's like the same kind of thing, but it is so so good. Like, it's so good.
Which came first? Which came first, Reno 911 or Super Troopers?
Oh, I feel like Reno 911.
Because they feel like so inspired by one another.
I feel like Reno 911 because it's been out for a hot minute.
Oh, I'll tell you.
I honestly have no idea because, like, I've seen Super Troopers. I like that movie, but I don't, like, know. I've learned more about it talking about it right now than I ever knew.
Interesting. So Reno 911, the first episode aired July of 2003.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first Super Troopers film. 2001.
Dang.
Yeah, oh, Super Troopers. Super Troopers is the...
Yeah, I mean, like, Reno 911 is...
The chicken or the egg.
Then it would be this then, right? So Super Troopers is Samsung and Reno 911 is Apple, where they come out with it later, but it's better.
They just... Sure. Exactly. Like, they don't have to be the first. They're just going to be the best whatever.
Yeah.
That comment made some people mad. So there are people
I know.
Already
I can even
writing.
Picture them, and I actually don't care.
Yeah, yeah. They're typing right now.
Don't even know that you believe it, but you for sure don't care. So
I for sure don't care. Yeah.
This week is such a throwaway. We made the mistake of playing board games with someone. Not the mistake, because that sounds bad.
Especially because you now know. Definitively that they listen.
Mistake is the wrong word, so I need to go ahead and just rewind. Your rewind sound is a lot better than mine. Lauren, you do it.
Do a rewind sound.
Just rewind what I'm saying now.
Okay,
She found the loophole.
Yeah.
Literally rewind, as if I'm going to edit this.
I definitely thought you were based on what you said.
No. It's staying in. I don't have...
Like, I don't have that ability.
I already said that. I feel bad about it. I don't have to, like... I'm not gonna hide it. That's
I'm not
going to
do any actual work.
But we started playing Pandemic Legacy, and I had not played Pandemic before.
That's ironic.
And then we started. So Legacy is the first season of the campaign. They have two. I don't know if you call them seasons, but basically they have two versions now.
They call them seasons.
Okay, the season. So this is season one, Pandemic campaign, and so it still feels like 90% of the regular Pandemic play, but obviously you have a storyline that develops, and it is a destructive campaign, right? So you're ripping things up as you go and crossing things off and losing things and gaining things and all that kind of stuff. The game is an absolute blast. I never played before. I know it's a very, very highly rated game. I totally understand the love for it. I absolutely loving this game. It feels of kind of similar, like it gives me similar feelings as like the Scythe campaign did. Like it feels a similar mm-hmm. amount of like punchy and exciting and the right amount of strategy and those type of things. But the difference is with Scythe, you're competing against people, whereas in Pandemic, you're working together to stop something. And I love the collaborative aspect of it. So we played, basically you play by months, like you're playing through a year and you play up to two games per month. It depends on how often you lose, but we are in May now, I believe we've made it up to May, and most of that was in our second sitting. Like I think we went from February to May in our second.
We started over. We went January, February, March, and we've beat those three.
Oh, so we are in April now.
Yes.
When we go back with April. So
that's awesome.
We started over because we messed up the beginning. We didn't read some stuff we were supposed to read and whatever.
And we failed twice. That's also why we started over.
That game is hard. It's not easy to win at all.
Had we not read the instructions fully and still won, we may have proceeded forward. But we lost twice.
You had two strikes.
We're in April now. So we played the game. We had like a four-hour session, get home, 48 hours later, find out that the person that hosted the game has coronavirus.
Yeah.
It's pretty ironic that you were playing Pandemic at their house. Yeah. Like,
it's not lost on us.
Yeah, it was a week gone. We both had to go, I already made that joke
5 times, but not on.
Yeah. We both had to go straight from Pandemic into quarantine. So now our quarantine is almost up. And so I just messaged today, like, when are we going to start playing that game again? Because I'm ready to jump back into Pandemic. And I feel fine. So I think it's all good. So,
and I took a test after that. And I am fine. I'm negative.
You are fine. Yeah. And for those that don't know, we snuck it into some artwork. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but we actually put it in some of our episode artwork months ago.
Yeah.
But I tested positive in a COVID antibody test back in like March.
When we were doing the corn stream stuff, we slipped Patrick's test results in.
into one of the files, on Instagram. So you'll see that pop up and it stays with my folder for the rest of the corn streams.
I wonder, do people get what we did with the corn stream graphics? Because like I spent a lot of time
I love those.
And I don't know that people cared or even got it. So if you're listening and you got that it was our quarantine files and they kept getting added to and our profile images kept being stacked up and they kept getting doodled on. And like if you picked up on what we were doing with it, please tell me because otherwise so many hours wasted.
Andrew doesn't need affirmation often, but he does right now.
This time it's like I put a lot of effort into that and I didn't hear anything about those.
I know, and Lauren was doodling on the files and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I did hear
I really loved it.
I heard from Mariana that she loved seeing Lauren's picture every time. That was literally right, so that's what she said. I'm like, well, I could just have Lauren send you her picture and I don't have to spend hours doing these graphics.
They were awesome, I will say.
Thanks. Arguably, Lauren was spending just as much time putting on an outfit every week as you were on the graphic.
She was costuming.
You know what's funny is that originally I did it to avoid like having to put on makeup just to take a selfie.
That's what Patrick
did. It evolved way out of hand.
You literally put on a Cookie Monster outfit to avoid whatever
makeup
you
apply. That's just putting on an outfit though. Like, you know, the ones that was like the hardest ones I did were like the Scrooge and like the Rick and Morty one because like they have actual like wigs and
appendages
and stuff.
Is the Groot one not difficult? You did Groot as well.
Oh yeah, that's just something you can slip into.
It's a face mask.
That is like a feat of engineering mastery. Like we killed that thing. You can dance in it. It's awesome.
You make it sound like nightwear. Like oh, just something to slip into. A nice Groot outfit.
But yeah, literally just like so. It's like a top, like with long sleeves, and it has like a Velcro slit in the back. So you literally just like slide your arms into it.
Yeah, that's like Patrick's day wear.
Yeah, that's how my adult clothes function. I have to have, I don't know. That's just how it works.
They don't fit over his body. They fit around his body. And he just slides.
And they have to have some type of like quick access flap. That's
absolutely
medically required.
Yeah. Medically required.
It was actually really funny when we made it. First, Trevor's concern was like, how do I smoke while I'm wearing it? And then how do I pee in it?
Sure.
Oh, because you're literally a dry tree.
Yeah. His concern was the flammability.
Yeah, the foliage.
Yeah.
Because he tested it by setting one of the gloves on fire, and I nearly, like, killed him. Because I'm like, do you know how long I just spent painting that thing? You can't just set it on fire on purpose.
Why
like,
did he set it on fire?
Ask Trevor. This was something that actually happened.
Oh my gosh.
He wanted to test if it was flammable so he would know if he could do a lighter with the gloves on, basically, was his reasoning.
Okay, I'm tracking now. I get it.
At the time, he still, like, smoked cigarettes all the time, so this was a big concern.
But it's really about, I'm sorry, how bad is he using a lighter? Because you don't have to, like, hold the lighter to your finger.
The gloves, maybe though, it's are an weird, Inspector so Gadget that's why he was testing
lighter,
it.
Where the top pops off of his finger and fire comes out
yeah.
of
it. I see. That makes more sense. Yeah, so yeah. he was an inspect. Wait.
He also needed to check the pants to make sure that when his go-go gadget springs shot out, that his pants wouldn't get caught in the springs.
Have you thought mm-hmm. about, because I know you have both these costumes, have you thought about doing mm-hmm. a Groot McDuck?
If you're going to do a
like
Groot
just putting
McDuck,
a bill on it, like how would I...
You sure? I'm
it
sure
could
you could
be very
do some
easily
sort of,
done.
Yeah, and then work cooking.
The best part about
somehow.
Yeah, the best part about the DuckTales costumes are actually the shoes, which they are like the big giant duck feet, and so we could just like wear those with the Groot suit instead of his real shoes.
Groot suit,
and
Ryan.
They actually, Ryan. Those are made out of you. What did you say? 180 duck feet. You just sewed them together to make giant
she sewed
duck feet.
Together actual duck feet.
Yes, that's 100% accurate.
They went to Chinese restaurants and ordered Peking duck every mm-hmm. night for several months.
And just, yeah, and got the feet for
kept
each seat and every one of them. Uh-huh.
You could probably just buy them wholesale.
Just throwing that out there for your next venture. You could probably just go
it's
wholesale.
It's amazing yeah. what you can buy wholesale. Did you know you can buy boxes so of pig anus wholesale?
I do now.
What about witch anus?
Maybe.
No one gets that reference. I was hoping that Lauren would for sure. It's from What We Do in the Shadows. His cursed hat has a witch's anus inside of it that sucks at the back of your head.
I didn't hear you right. I'm sorry.
Wait, what did you think I said? Never mind. We'll move on.
Yes, you feel a gentle puckering at the back of your head.
Yeah.
Wow, that's delightful. So on that note,
I have almost 20 minutes into this episode, and the topics that we have covered are just absolutely asinine. It's the most ridiculous.
Asinine. It's that's awesome. A great pun given the witch anus comment. Well, that's the end of my week. Andrew, what'd you do this week?
I too, like you, was home, so didn't go out very much, but I got a couple of things. My friend JP, who is another Disney person, went to Disney. He and his wife went for 4 days. They went to all the parks, and they had their like anniversary trip that kept getting canceled. They were supposed to do it back like in March or April or something like that, and it kept getting pushed back. So they finally were able to go, and he came back with a gift for me. He came back with the 2021 Disney Parks poster calendar. So I'm showing you this.
Pretty.
So these are very pretty nice. Pretty coveted, pretty highly coveted. He went to several places, finally found him at one spot in Epcot.
And he beat it away from a 5-year-old boy.
Yeah. Each one has a full color poster. Each month has a full color poster.
Those are cool.
What month is your birthday, Lauren? I'll show you yours.
April.
April?
April 5th.
Like, look at this.
4th.
Oh, close. That's right. 4455.
4455.
Yeah, because she was born in 1955. But they each so month cute. Each month has a poster of a different. Yours is April, so you have the Animal Kingdom. You've got the Tree of Life.
Ooh.
What's yours, Patrick? Yours is May.
May. Yeah. 4455.
Oh.
What's that?
Nice. The Millennium
that
Falcon.
That hunk of junk.
Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run. And I believe that's artwork by Eric Tan, if I'm not mistaken.
That one is super dope.
Mine is all the way back here.
Are you ever tempted to
The Wildest Ride in the Wilderness? Which
that's
how perfect
a good one.
Is yeah. that
Big Thunder is good. Yeah, that's
my
good.
Favorite one.
So, are you going to go ahead and send me mine?
Yeah, I'll send you yours when I'm done with it. So when the month is done, it's perfed right here and it's perfed up there. You can pull these out and they're
perfect.
Frameable 11x14 posters.
Did you say perfect dope. As a riff off of perf for perforated?
Oh, no, I just think that's awesome. Because I was like, do you ever save the pictures for like to put on your wall or something? Because they look really awesome.
Yeah, then so they're intended for that. It's the poster calendar, like they're like ride attraction
that's
posters
cool.
essentially is how it works. So anyway, big thanks to him because they're hard to come by. They're hard to find and he snagged them for me. And there was one other thing that so my Mickey on the point of Disney, my Mickey and Minnie Lego figures shipped and they will be here this weekend. So I'll be able to assemble them this coming weekend. And you weren't here. That was the episode you weren't here. I ordered the classic Mickey and Minnie Lego figures that are like a foot tall, over a foot tall.
I didn't
realize
each. They were that big.
They're real big.
Smaller.
So
that's exciting.
I'll be assembling those this weekend, and I'll be able to review them next week, and I'll show you on the show. So I'm really excited.
Know how
about
many
that.
Pieces those are?
A lot. There's a handful. I could look it up right now, but there's a lot.
It's okay.
I'll review it next week. I'll tell you. You might notice a quick change of audio real quick. But that's because
hey, everybody. This is Patrick Hill from the MF1 podcast.
we had, and honestly, to be fair, it is the first time in a very, very long time we've had any hiccups with our audio.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's
been
it's been a hot minute since we've had any audio boo-boos, but audio boo-boos. How stupid.
I just knocked on wood to be safe.
The first 20 minutes of audio might sound slightly different to you, but things will sound crystal, perfect, clear moving forward.
Until yeah, because
Patrick throws another bottle of Gatorade at
I was
his
trying
computer.
To do a magic trick. I was trying to show that I could hide a mini Gatorade behind my hand, like I could palm a mini Gatorade, and then I was going to like flip and reveal it. Well, I just threw it into my laptop. Like the entire reveal was I whipped it into my laptop, and that changed my audio input somehow.
apparently technology doesn't like it when you throw objects at it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So. Yeah, it's so weird.
Ta-da!
So the last part about my week is I watched Treasure Planet today.
I love that movie.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I knew you were just watching it. Like 3 minutes in, I'm like, this is Lauren's kind of movie. One of the suggestions that I got for the Disney a day drawing stuff was I got several people who suggested I draw Jim Hawkins. And I'm like, I don't know who the heck Jim Hawkins is. So I looked it up and I'm like, okay, he's from Treasure Planet. And I realized it's one of the handful of Disney films I had never seen. It was definitely one of the last films where they use 2D animation. I don't know if it was definitively the last one, but it was one of them for sure. Because it was like, you could tell they were incorporating a lot of computer animation for their sets and for like the props and things. But then the characters themselves were 2D animation. The movie was fine. It wasn't bad at all. There were parts that I really liked.
It's basically Treasure Island.
It's Martin Short as the kind of the bumbly like robot side character, which is crazy. And then the guy that plays Niles Crane as the adventure guy that goes along with him. I don't know who any of the other actors are. I recognize a couple of their voices, but couldn't pick them out of a crowd. Yeah.
I love the character design in that movie. It's really unique.
So that's what I was going to say. The character design is unique. It's like a combination of like, it feels like a combination between Iron Giant and Lilo and Stitch. Like, I think that's...
Yeah, or a lot of it like reminds me of Atlantis, the like Disney film.
Yeah, so I haven't seen Atlantis either. And when this movie ended on Disney Plus, it said, you watch this. You would probably want to watch this. And so that
I like
be on
Atlantis
my list.
More than Treasure Planet.
Okay.
It's so good.
it's just really interesting. Patrick, I don't know that you would like this movie. Besides the fact that it's animated, I don't think that you would like it in general.
No, I trust you. I trust you that I would not.
Yeah. But
I remember the songs were good in that movie, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say is the songs I hated.
Like I haven't listened to it in a really long time, so I don't remember. But I remember
felt
liking it at
so,
the time.
Felt so like late '90s, but not
yes,
like
it's it, more like,
but
pop
not
music.
In a movie way. Yeah, but not in a movie way. In
yes.
like a
yes.
Am I listening to Creed right now? Like that's what it felt like.
Yes,
legitimately
this is totally accurate.
And so yeah, no, I hated the music from that perspective. It wasn't a musical though, Patrick. So they're not like they're not singing. There's a couple of songs that are kind of meant to be more like journeyman type songs, like you know montage type songs. But they're all imagine the montage of something with Phil Collins, but like swap it out with Creed. that's what you're getting.
Gross.
Heavy electric guitar, but like not. Not like Guns N' Roses electric guitar. Like it's just a different vibe. It was cool. It was a different kind of thing. It was nice to watch a Disney movie for the first time. And I do recognize it has a very strong like cult following of people too. I imagine these characters are probably they probably show up more in Disneyland Paris, because Disneyland Paris has that whole steampunk portion. Like Tomorrowland is all steampunk.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I imagine that like Ben, the Martin Short character, and Jim Hawkins show up a lot more over there than they would over in the States, because we don't have, I've never seen them around the parks. I know they pop up from time to time at some of these like fan events. But yeah. I believe they are regularly featured over in Disneyland Paris. I could be wrong, but it makes sense given the land where, like how Tomorrowland is laid out and everything. So anyway, Treasure Planet, if you haven't seen it, it's on Disney Plus. Why not give it a go? Visually, it's very pretty. It's a very cool looking movie. Just maybe just put it on mute.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. All right, then one other thing, and I think you would be excited about this, Lauren, and I, or at least I'm interested to hear your take. They finally released the teaser trailer for Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous. Have you seen this?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. No, okay. I have not.
So it is it is a computer animated show or movie. I can't tell. They haven't. It's not clear to me what it is based on the trailer, whether it's a show or a movie. But it's coming to Netflix September 18th. So just a little over a month to wait before the show. I'm interested to hear what you think, because it feels it's called Jurassic World. Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, not Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous. Camp Flirtatious.
Well, that writes itself.
Totally that does write movie. Itself, honestly. it's an animated film or animated show, and it's...
What dinosaurs would you have in Camp Flirtatious?
I'd love to... Yeah, let's put that list together. It's stylized. It feels like the new Scooby-Doo, like that kind of style of animation. So it's stylized. It's not like realistic looking, but it does have like all of the, it seems like it has all the normal Jurassic Parkian tropes. Like the park is great and the camp is great. And then,
until
a dinosaur gets loose, like, and then all hell breaks loose. And it looks like they just stole all of the key shots of all the other movies and just did them in animation and in animated form. So anyway, you're a big Jurassic Park fan. I'm interested to see what you think and what you feel about it. But anyway, go watch it. There'll be a link to the trailer in our show notes. All right, that was my week.
I'll definitely check that out.
Lauren, you can round us out.
Okay. So I've had kind of a quiet week. I have a ton of client work that I'm doing this week. Their event is this Thursday, so we're kind of in like the crunch period. And then... if I had any time in between that to work on stuff, I've been working on my Umbrella Academy poster, which I've been posting on Instagram. I just wanted to do something for fun because I haven't done like a big drawing project in a while, and I love that show, and I was fully planning on completely finishing it before season 2 came out, but that didn't work out. So I've been like posting it as I go this week, and I'll hopefully have it done by Friday if everything goes according to my plan. And that's about it. It's just been fun to work on that. It's nice to like have just a big project of my own that isn't super serious. Sure. And I'll have that, hopefully, like I said, I'll have that done by Friday and I can put it up in my Etsy. And I wanted to make a note, speaking of Etsy, that if you are somebody who listens to the podcast and you make an order from my Etsy, please tell me that it's you, because sometimes I only know your online handle or maybe even like only your first name or something. So I don't necessarily know that that's who it is like ordering for me. And if I do know that it's one of you guys, I will almost always send like extra stickers and goodies and stuff. So just let me know that that's how you found me, because Mariana bought something in my shop last week. So that's exactly what I did for her.
Look at that. Friends being friends. That's how it works. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about our fun new project?
Yes, I definitely want to. So last week we found out on our Slack channel that number one, Patrick knows nothing about werewolves or vampires.
Wait, you call him number one, two, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm number one.
I said number one, Patrick.
Patrick
does not know. And number two, he also has never read Harry Potter, which is not surprising, but he's never seen any of the movies either. So Patrick is a Harry Potter muggle. He knows nothing about it. Yep. So we're playing a little game, sort of, where we are quizzing Patrick on what he thinks happens in all of these movies, just kind of based on general pop culture knowledge and being around for the last however many years that Harry Potter's been with us. And it's very, it's been really fun to like see what you do know and like what's kind of sunk in through the atmosphere. And it is, it's just been really fun to also just rewatch these movies because I've watched the first one in a very long time. So
you guys did a good job of describing the first half of this. It's a show.
Yes, it's a podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a show about this as well. Yes, we are playing this game, but we're doing it behind a microphone.
Yes, yes. We're planning to share it with all of you guys. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. So it is episodic.
The first episode, so we're going through all the films. Every episode will tackle a film. We've already got the first one in the bag, and we'll be recording the second one this week. So expect those to drop very, very soon. So it's a one kind of one season run. Like once we want to run out of films, we're out of episodes. So it's a one shot. But so far a very interesting experience. But I'll save all the spoilers. I will say whether or not you've seen the films, you will find this enjoyable.
Yeah, I think if you've seen the films, you might find it slightly more enjoyable.
Right.
But I did know, I did find out that Mariana has not seen them either. She's in the same boat as you. And I said, well, then you need to play along with us.
Oh,
so,
yes, for sure.
Like pause. So the way the show works is we do all that stuff that Lauren said at the front end of the show. We pause. We go watch the movie. We come back and we do it. We pick it up there and we see what Patrick got right, what Patrick may have gotten wrong. He does a review of the film. And we discuss like general things about it. So it's a fun go.
We're letting people that listen play along because every week will be packaged with trivia that you get to answer, and the people that answer it correctly are going to win things.
Yes. Answer it correctly and quickly. The firstest and the fastest. Is that how that works?
Yes. First and most and correct.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's a fun little show that we're doing, and we'll probably do other things like this in the future, depending on how well this gets received. But for sure, it's a lot of fun to go through it. So we don't have a name for it yet. That's part of the reason we haven't launched it. So we're still trying to come up with the perfect name. If you think you have a name that's fantastic, let us know.
And that is better from Muggle. It has to be better than From Muggle to Master.
Yeah.
So you have to have a name better than that. But let us know.
All right. Well, then I think we're going to go ahead and call that done for that. Let's head into our categories. Every week, we like to talk about something fun, new, and noteworthy from the pop culture sphere, whether it's new to the world or new to us. That is the category portion. And so, Lauren, since you left us off, why don't you pick it up?
There's no logic to that.
Nope.
Though, since you did this, why don't you? It's still illogical.
Yeah, but I'm making the rules.
You gotta pick somebody to go first
in those situations. So like, you can't break the rules if you're making them. Well, I guess you can.
Fine.
You can.
And that's how you play Dallas. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, so for this week, what? Are you okay? What did I do wrong now?
It was me, not you. But go ahead.
Okay.
I just had Topo Chico come out of my nose, and regular water coming out of your nose, not great. Mineral sparkling water coming out of your nose? Super not great.
Unpleasant. Yeah.
Mineral sparkling water that is with a twist of grapefruit flavor? Even worse.
Oh, wow. Got a triple whammy right there.
How you played Dallas. All right. Go ahead, Lauren.
Actually, that ties in perfectly. So speaking of Dallas, I want to talk about Umbrella Academy Season 2. As you guys know, I've been super, super, super excited for this. I love this show. I love the comic books. I love the show. I'm just glad that they're getting to do more of it because, like, I'm always nervous with shows like this that they won't get to do more because it's weird. And I like that, but not everybody does. I was nervous for this season anyway, just because anytime that I really, really like something, when the like sequel comes out, I'm like, is there any way this is gonna like live up to the first season? Like, kind of like after Guardians of the Galaxy 1, you're like, how are they gonna do this again? It was so fun.
Yeah.
But I think season 2 rose to the challenge and it's like just as good. I can't decide if it might be just slightly better, but like I just finished watching it like last night, so
you watched the whole season? You binged the whole season in 2 days?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was like waiting for this. We binged like 4 episodes in the first sitting. I like got together with all my like buddies that we do our like costume with, and we watched together because we're all our weird little family too. So if you have never heard of Umbrella Academy, it is a TV show that's on Netflix. It's based on a comic book by Gerard Way, who you may know as the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. They all have like superpowers, but they are weird superpowers. And they were all adopted by this like eccentric billionaire who has raised all these guys to be like a superhero team. They don't manage to stay as a superhero team as adults, and like things change. Like season one kind of covers everything that happens after their father's death, and season two picks up like immediately after season one ends.
Oh, like immediately, like the scene just continues.
Yeah, yeah. Just
I love it
from.
I love it.
Yeah,
when,
I like
when
that.
Shows do that or movies do that. That's the most fun, because mm-hmm. you're not having to put anything together. It's just the story continues. I like that.
And I think that was a like perfect way to do this show as well. Like, just like. Pick it up right where they left off, because they left off on like a funky cliffhanger where you didn't know exactly what was going to happen this season or where when they were going to be. So like I think they just are like, boom, here you go.
And also because the first season was an amalgamation of the first two book sets, or the first mm-hmm. two, like the first two like arcs, it makes sense that, and there's only one other arc, so like it makes sense that they're going to bleed that into this next one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I actually like was really excited. I think that the show does a good job for like balancing like comic book readers' interest in it and new people's interest in it, because they don't rely very heavily on the source material, but like there are like the major kind of points all take place and they kind of hit on those, but it's very interpretive. Like Hazel and Cha-Cha are not real characters in the comic books. They never take off the mask. They have no personalities. They just want to murder
stories,
people.
Stories, right. Yeah, they don't have a
yeah, nothing. Story. They're just like psychopaths straight up. And like the show always manages to like show you what you know, but then like kind of move it around and kind of surprise you. And so like I actually think a lot more of this season had to do with the season two arc, the like Dallas storyline, than I was expecting because of how much they covered in the first season. But they got like way more out of it than I was expecting. So, and I'm even more and more excited for season three if they do Hotel Oblivion, because that's, in my opinion, the best storyline.
So they didn't do Hotel Oblivion in this one at all then?
They have a couple hints, a couple really big hints at the last episode, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
No, but I assume that this whole thing was going to be Hotel Oblivion because they covered so much of everything of the first two books in the first season. So they just dive more into Dallas. This one is really Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Cool.
They take, I would say, one big piece from Hotel Oblivion, but they don't really let you know that that's what it is until the end. And I was kind of guessing it might be that, but I was not like convinced, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think I'm stretching this, just trying to like fit the pieces together.
Well, I'm excited to watch it. We'll start it tonight.
Yeah. Season two is really amazing. I love everything about it. Like everything that they did well in the first season, they do like just as well in the second season. Like the soundtrack is amazing. Like it's bigger, it's badder, bloodier, weirder. I loved it. And so I'm excited for more people to watch it. It's just so good. I really hope that they get to do more of the show because it is so much fun.
Okay. That sounds good to me. I'm in. I mean, I was in before, but I'm still in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are you tossing it to?
Have you watched the first couple episodes?
No, I'm starting it tonight. Like, I'm starting season two tonight.
Because so you knew that it started from, like, where season one left off. So I was like, oh, maybe.
Because you said that. Because you said it. And so I was happy based on you having said it.
You just inferred. All right.
Yeah. Just
all
affirming
right, well,
that I was listening.
It.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. They're game related. So there's going to be a couple of items in my category. So they're all game related. One is a quick review of this game called Trellis. Trellis is a game that you can pick up at Target or Walmart. So it's really easily accessible. It's a 20-minute play at most game. You can play 2 to 4 players. It's a tile laying game, but there's some elements to it that are slightly different. So you're laying these hexagonal tiles and they all connect, and you're building these trellis, these like vines and trellis, and each vine has a different color and all these different things. And then everybody has these meeple flower heads, and they mm-hmm. bloom, and you're trying to optimize the number of blooms you can get on the board. The first person to run out of all of their blooms whether you play it or it happens because someone plays something that you're able to bloom on their card, you win. So it's really straightforward. Patrick, I think you would like it in the sense that strategically, like seeing how you can lay everything out and just being able to visualize everyone
how
gets
long
three.
Have you owned this game?
A while. Like
because
a while.
Either from walking through Target or going to your house, I feel like I've been staring at this game for months and months and months. So when you said it, I was thinking, oh, I've played this, and I looked it up and I haven't played this.
You haven't,
but I've been
it.
Aware of it for a while.
Yeah, it sat on my shelf unwrapped for a long time. I actually brought it to the house when we started playing Pandemic. You saw it sitting right next to Pandemic. The girls were gonna play Trellis while we played Pandemic, so that's probably where you just saw it like 2 weeks ago. But anyway, it's a great little game. It's if you get intimidated, and I know that we talk to some people who get really intimidated by some of the games that we talk about on this show, this is not that. This is a quick play game. It's, I think, ages 10 and up. And again, you can get it. It's like $20 at Target. It's pretty low barrier of entry, quick play, and it's good. It's a good addition, and it looks pretty. It's a good addition to the shelf. The other things that I'm going to talk about are game-related, but they're in a different way. So you heard us talk about a few months ago that LEGO was partnering up with Nintendo for an official partnering and doing some officially licensed merchandise. Well, it's out. So now you can go buy the Super Mario LEGO kits. And these kits are, like we talked about when they first came out there, you build this makeshift level, and it has these digital blocks that you put in that interact with your Mario that you build, that also has these digital blocks in him, and he has LED screens in his eyes and mouth and chest piece, and they interact. It plays music. There's speakers built into it. It plays the normal music that you would expect when you jump on different bad guys. Like if you knock them off and you step on their back, you get coins. And so when you move the figure up, and like you have to physically interact with these things and you get coins, and then various different things appear on his face. If you fall into the fire pit, fire comes up on him, and he makes this like oh no face. It's really cool. So we knew about that. We knew that this was going to be a thing, and that there were going to be different kits and different sets you could buy, different levels. You know, there's a water level, and then a Bowser, like you can get the Bowser Castle level, which is big, and it comes with a Bowser that you have to assemble, and all these different things. They're out in the wild now. They're very cool. I'm seeing people play them. It does seem a little bit more like the playing with them. I don't know that I'll play it as much like as the video game is concerned.
Okay.
But there is an app that coincides with it. I haven't gotten any of the sets for myself yet, so I will do a full review once I do. But there's an app that coincides with it, so I'm guessing that keeps track of scores, that keeps track of various things like that. But the other thing that I found out is they also are now, with the release of these this past weekend, they also are doing character blind bags. So you can get various character blind bags that interact with these levels as well. So they're bad guys and good guys. And so you assemble them, and they work with all of your levels. And I'm guessing the levels all are interchangeable. You can lock them together and do different things. So that's out, and I'm excited to get my hands on it. But I'm seeing it, and it looks really fun and innovative, which is, again, what we were talking about before. It's very innovative. And we like that LEGO is doing something new and exciting, even if it's not the most usable thing, right? They're partnering with a company like Nintendo who does that same kind of thing. They're always pushing the envelope of what video games, quote-unquote video games, are like, and what is accessible as a video game, with things like the Nintendo Labo and
the Wii when it came out was like completely insane.
Yeah, the nunchuck and all that stuff. Like they take these steps towards something new, even if it is just really just sometimes to the detriment. Like sometimes it doesn't work, but we applaud them for trying new things. So it was cool for LEGO to partner with them in doing that. The other thing that they released in conjunction with this is the LEGO Original Nintendo Entertainment System set.
Yes.
And you build an original Nintendo with an original Nintendo controller and a TV, an old school TV set with Mario, like Super Mario, that you build the cartridge and you put the cartridge in into the Nintendo, and you build the TV with a playable level. So you just scroll after you build it the way that you build it. It cranks, and the set it's on, the background moves, and Mario moves up and down, jumping over things and onto things.
That's crazy.
In conjunction with that. So like the mechanism is all built in on the back end. It is so cool. I want it so bad. It is now out as well, and how awesome. So
it is more expensive than going on eBay and buying an NES.
Yes, it is. It is more expensive, but it's cool. And you can put it on your shelf.
I will also point out that it is currently sold out. It's currently out of stock. I'm sure they will restock it. But if you try to go buy it at this moment, you may not be able to pick it up. I mean, I think it looks great. I love it. And of course, I love the nostalgia of it. I know that we all had these systems and we played on these old school TVs with the huge like cathode ray. I assume they're like similar like a CRT and the big rounded screen. Yeah. So that you set 10 inches, 6 inches away from. And so there's a lot of nostalgia for it. It is weird to me. Like, it's hard to wrap my head around paying $230 for a non-playable NES when I could just buy a playable NES and some games. That's the thing that's slightly tough. I mean, but obviously the Lego is very aesthetic. The thing I struggle with is once I build a Lego, like, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I get that, and I have several Lego sets that are assembled here, and they're like just off camera, like my Millennium Falcon and TIE Fighter and X-Wing and stuff. And then I've got some stuff over here as well. That's why I have to be like real choosy, because I love a lot of what Lego does, but there's just so you only have so much shelf space, right? But this Lego Nintendo is one that I feel like I can make space for, because it looks. You're right. You could buy a playable Nintendo and actually have it and function with it. But the idea of it sitting and looking like a level, like a Mario level that's like static on the screen, and seeing that it's 3D and having the TV and being able to play all that, like set all that stuff up. I love that idea. I think it's just so cool.
It comes with one of the Marios that works with the new system you were talking about before.
Oh, it does?
It comes with...
nice.
If you buy the Lego, you get... an interactive Super Mario.
Love it.
That's on the page. Cool. If you go to the Lego page and you scroll down like four sections or so, you'll see that it comes with a Mario that you actually place at the top of the screen while you're playing. Now, I don't know if anything gets logged like with the app or anything like that, but I know it does come with one of those interactive Marios.
Well, that's cool. that just put me over the line. So it's going to happen now. I have to buy both of them now.
It says that he will react to on-screen enemies and power-ups and stuff, and apparently will play the game's theme music.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So that all comes with the Lego piece, and I imagine that then you can cross-use that with the other platform.
I love that. Oh, here's what I was going to say, too, about the Lego Mario stuff. When we first talked about it, we talked about how expensive, like as an idea, it's a cool idea, but we talked about how expensive we thought it was going to be. It is very affordable, like very affordable. So you can get the Mario, and then you can buy suits for him. You can get like his power up suits. You can get like the Lego builder, the Lego cat suit, the fire Mario, the propeller hat. And they're the sets, those additional sets are only $10 a piece.
Really awesome.
Yeah, you can get, and then the character packs, like the blind bag packs, are only $5 a piece. And then like the sets are anywhere from, like the full sets are anywhere from like $30, like $29.99 to, the most expensive one is the Bowser's Castle, and that's $100. So. Given how
and for Legos, that honestly is like really cheap.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
yeah.
I go into the Lego store sometimes and I'm like, ooh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So expensive.
Exactly. So you can get things started for $60. The Adventures with Mario starter course is $60. Those are the starter course is available. A lot of the other stuff is back ordered now because everybody is on top of it. Yeah. Anyway. There's some games that you can pick up, some things that you can play with, and that's my category. Patrick, take us home.
All right. So I'm going to be talking about the Speed Cubers, which I feel like is a hilarious name. But apparently, if you are a professional at solving Rubik's Cubes, you're referred to as a Cuber. And this is a documentary I just noticed this week on Netflix.
Do you think they made that name up?
Cuber? Well,
I imagine like, a Cuber would be who came up with the term Cuber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think one of the three of us would come up with the term Cuber.
No.
That's probably true.
But yes, the Speed Cubers. Now, this just released this week on Netflix. It is only 40 minutes long, so it would be ridiculous for me to talk about this for like 10 minutes because you would already be a quarter of the way through the documentary. So I'm going to keep this very short, but the idea is that this focuses really on two people. It focuses on Max Park and Felix Zimdegs. Now, this is not a documentary that gets into the in and outs of the Speed Cube scene. All right, this isn't going to explain the origins of this scene. It's not going to explain the tools they use. It's not going to explain how they train. It's not going to explain, like, you will get none of that. So this really does not have anything to do with that scene. The two people it's examining are in the scene, but that's kind of the extent of it. What it's really examining is the relationship of Max and Felix. Now, the reason, and you see this in the preview, which is the reason I'm fine talking about it now, Felix at one point in time basically held every record you could hold when it came to a Rubik's Cube. He's earned over 120 world records in relation to the Rubik's Cube. So this is solving at all different sizes. This is our like one hand solves, and I think solving with like your feet and like all this like crazy stuff. Like the dude's insane. Okay,
I saw that thing in the trailer where they're doing it with their feet, and I'm like, would never have assumed that is possible.
Yeah. So this other kid named Max, growing up, is a kid that grows up with autism, and I would say, like, I don't know fully what like the far ends of the spectrum look like when it comes to autism, but it's safe to say it's he's fairly disabled. I mean, he's, when he's in the documentary, he's about 17 or 18, and they said emotionally he's about a 7-year-old. So it gives you an idea of the level of that he's dealing with, but he latched on to Rubik's Cubes. This became a way that he could develop his motor skills, and it became something that he was intently focused on, and so his parents, of course, encouraged that. And then as he got older, his parents would take him to competitions because that was a way for him to have social interaction. It was a way for him to start having to deal with people and deal with emotions, and so that's what you start seeing in this documentary. Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, Max looks up to Felix so much that Max starts modeling a lot of good behavior based on Felix, you know, so that relationship becomes super important. Now, the twist is Max ends up basically breaking all of Felix's records. So you're dealing with this, this role model who, you know, wants to remain a positive role model for this person who is simultaneously shattering all of his records.
Just beating him.
And so it's a very interesting dynamic to think about. Now, the documentary does not actually delve into that too much, so it's something that you as the viewer are left to consider. But it is a fascinating thing to imagine that you can't really get mad at someone and like go into ultra like competition mode, because this is someone that is still doing this in some part because of the degree they look up to you, and they're still looking to you for an example of how to react socially or emotionally or things like that. So it's a very fascinating thing, but it's only 40 minutes, and it just dives into that relationship, and simultaneously it's the feelings of you have the one person that's kind of starting to age out of a sport while another person is starting to overtake all that they've done. And just imagine the amount of emotion wrapped up in that if you've dedicated a decade of your life to something, to suddenly start feeling like, oh, I'm no longer on the top of my game anymore. And it's very interesting. You know, taking a step back from this, I had a brother that was a fairly competitive shooter, a skeet shooter. I know it sounds like, haha, cool. skeet, whatever. But that's it's a form of shooting. So where you have like two houses, eight stations, and you know, you shoot 25 targets around, whatever. He was very good. To give you an example, he won Champ of Champs one year. He was All-American team. He medaled twice or three times at the world shoot, getting silver and bronze medal. He was training for the Olympic team. Like, he was very, very good. All right. They were, you know, in the world of shooting, he was like the guy that was popping up in magazines and stuff like that and whatever. But there's a point where he realized, like, he wanted to move on from the sport, either because he felt he needed to, or he felt like the money wasn't there, or he felt like he didn't want to, whatever. And just the, imagine how much of your identity is wrapped up into something, and then you realize you need to step away from that thing. What are the feelings of kind of starting over as a person? Because that was who you were.
Yeah.
And now you have to pivot and be something else. You have to go from being literally one of the best, like, in the world.
Yeah.
To now sucking at something again and being a beginner again. And it just imagining the amount of energy and feeling and whatever goes into that. So
it's like you playing Dr. Mario.
It's like me, it's like me riding rollerblades. So,
oh yeah,
the man. It's weird being a beginner. It's weird being a mm-hmm. beginner. So the idea when you watch this, even though the documentary again isn't delving into a lot of these topics, I think it's still something to consider, and I think it can lead to a lot of great discussions about how do you navigate that when you're on the cusp of adulthood and you're going from being the goat within a sport to now.
To being a goat.
Well, I mean, a goat farmer, maybe? Whatever makes money.
Going from the goat to being a goat farmer.
That would be an amazing, like, that would be a hilarious transition if that happened. But no, I think he goes into finance.
Well, I think he was a goat farmer by training this other, right?
Like, is that the, because funny. he then became the goat.
Yeah, I like that term a lot.
Goat farmer.
Goat farmer. Yeah.
If you're the best, as training like, the next best.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. So anyway, great documentary. I recommend it. Go watch it. It's called The Speed Cubers. This is a purely feel good. And here's the other thing. You will very likely tear up and you may even cry during this movie. It's surprisingly emotional.
Dude, the trailer honestly had me where I was like, do not cry during this trailer. Don't. It's a trailer. Like,
it's pretty emotional, but it's 100% feel good. There's not conflict. There's nothing but love in this documentary. It's only 40 minutes long. Again, put it on, watch it with your whole family. Very feel good. But then once you're done watching it, I think these topics deserve kind of diving into a little further. So that's the Speed Cubers. Weird name, man.
Speed,
I don't like Cubers.
Sounds like a game that you would have played on Super Nintendo, honestly.
It does, yeah.
Sounds like a root vegetable.
Patrick, are you seeing that our entire world is dying outside of our house?
Yeah, so apparently we're now both in like a severe thunderstorm warning or like apparently. A significant weather advisory.
It got real shady real fast.
Yeah, I keep glancing outside like every second.
Me too, yeah.
The neighbor had a bookcase sitting like, I don't know if he was painting it or staining it, but a second ago the wind blew it over. And so I heard like a big boom and... Yeah,
that's not great.
Oh, that's
well, then maybe yeah. we should usher ourselves out of this episode before we lose power and lose all this progress.
Yeah,
so we don't have a second a second audio boo boo. So the pins are in, ladies and gentlemen. I think we should probably plan on closing our pre-order this Friday, maybe.
Yeah. So
how does that sound?
Sounds good.
Perfect. So starting Friday, you no longer get the bonus item, and starting Friday, we're gonna double the price. The second part's
$1,000.
The second part's not true, but we are going to discontinue the free item starting Friday. Yeah. But the pins are here. Look on our socials, and you'll see us post pictures of them. I'm confident they're going to be beautiful. The funny thing is, we haven't actually seen them yet because we still need to go pick them up. But they are here.
The card backers are in. I have seen the card backs. They do look great. So like, it's gonna be great. So if you have been waiting to pull the trigger on it, now is the time to pre-order. After Friday, you don't get the bonus items, and we only have 50 of them, so we've already sold a number of them. So if you don't want to miss out, hop on it now. I think you can find everything that we talked about on mofone.network, where you can find show notes and links to all this stuff. We talked about a lot of fun stuff to watch, stuff to play, stuff to buy. So go check it all out. That's what those notes are there for, make it really simple for you. If you haven't checked out the Maker's Dozen yet, make sure you do that. We're dropping new interviews every day during the week, so 5 interviews a week. You can subscribe to that so you don't ever have to actually go, and it just shows up in your inbox. Just go to mofone.network/makers and put in your email down there, and you'll get an email every day. They're just a couple minute read, but it's fun to learn about some of these artists who are involved in, like, the people who are already represented. The men and women are vastly different, sides of the spectrum in terms of what they do, how they do it, and all that. It's so cool. It's so fun to go and check these out. And I imagine some of these people might end up becoming like a full guest for various things that we might do. I know that I've already kind of pinged a couple of them because their interviews, like their written interviews, were so fun, and they seem really energetic and cool. So, so check those out, mofone.network/makers, and you can find those dropping every day during the week. Other than that, you can find us on socials. Just go to mofone podcast and all the different channels there. You can support the show on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/mofonepodcast. $2, $4, or $6 helps us out a lot. It also helps us out for you to rate and review the show. Just do that. Subscribe to the show on the various platforms that you listen to podcasts. You know the drill. It's helpful for us, and it's super fun. If you want to join the conversation, go to mofone.network/slack and join the conversation there. We've had some new members join in the past couple weeks. Hi to you if you are a regular listener and you've just joined us in Slack. Come in there, talk with us, let us know what's going on. There's some fun stuff happening in there day in and day out, so join us in there. I think that's everything. I'm Andrew Sale with 3s instead of E's on all the different platforms. Lauren, you are...
Not Cool Co. or Not Cool Company.
Patrick.
And I am at squatch.in. That's I-N.
That's correct. I thought you were going to say where that was, but you just kind of left it.
You passed the test on Instagram.
You did it, yes, on Instagram. So anyway, I think that's going to be it for this episode. We're going to get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bye.